Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and we thank you so much, Lord, for the truth in the Bible. Father, we believe that the truth shall set us free. And Lord, this church will be a part of the end time bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want to be a glorious church, the church that is full of glory. We want to please you, Lord, because we love you. Father, please anoint all of us by the Holy Spirit to hear and to understand your word, Lord. We surrender. We open our ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say. We want to open our eyes to receive the revelation and understanding. We ask for the Spirit of wisdom and understanding to fill this house, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. A few days ago, the Lord asked me, in the natural, if you can choose only one thing. If you can choose only one thing in your life. Not two, not three, only one thing. What would you choose? Will you choose your house? Will you choose your car? Will you choose your job or bank account? What are you going to choose in the natural? And I have no hesitation to tell the Lord that in this world, in the natural, I will choose Pastor Da. Only Pastor Da. And when I say Pastor Da, I don't mean a picture. I don't mean a love letter. I mean the person. I mean the presence of Pastor Da in my life. I don't care if I live in a small house. I don't care if I live in an apartment or a one-bedroom studio. As long as the presence of Pastor Da is there, I'm happy already. Amen? Everyone say amen. Amen. Or the husband feel the same way? Amen. Amen. Then God asked me, in the spiritual realm, if you have only one choice to choose, what you're going to choose. If you have only one choice, I say the same thing. In the natural, I choose the presence of Pastor Da. We can live anywhere in the world. We can live in Africa. We can live in India. We can go anywhere as long as Pastor Da is there. But in the spiritual realm, I say I choose the presence of God. I want the presence of God. I want the presence of the living God in my life. And when the presence of God is there, there will be a manifestation of His power and His love and His mercy. Wise Christians will love the presence of God. Amen. I just came back from Bangkok for the mission trip. And, oh, it was like in heaven. The presence of God was so strong. This trip, I had a privilege to have Pastor Joe Cruz and Becky Cruz coming with me. They were worship leader and they were in the revival longer than me. They have been in revival since 1993 or 1994. And they were one of the people that brought me into revival. They went there, and when Pastor Joe Cruz began to grab the microphone and sang the worship song, the whole room was charged with the presence of God. I got drunk in the Holy Spirit at my place. I just feel the presence of God. I actually, on Sunday morning, he could not even preach because the whole room got drunk by the Holy Spirit. Everyone just filled with the presence of God. And he emailed me. He said that after he came back from Bangkok this time, his life has never been the same. All of us, I was changed too. In fact, one thing that God changed me in the presence of God this time, you know, I have a hard time forgiving people who persecuted me and talk bad about me. I really have a hard time. After this service, after being in the presence of God filled my life, the anointing or the presence of the Holy Spirit filled my life. After four services in Bangkok, I came out and I feel like I now understand about loving my enemy, about forgiving my enemy, because God really has made some deposit and some change in my life. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes so real to me even more than before. I want you to encounter the presence of God. I want you to come to the burning bush on the Mount Horeb. When Moses met the Lord at that burning bush, the bush that have the fire of God, his life was totally changed in the presence of God. And one of the things that the enemy tried to do is to cause Christians to run away from the presence of God, or to reject the presence of God, or to be scared of the presence of God, or dishonor the presence of God. I believe that in the end time like this, I believe we are living in the end time. And the move of God and the presence of God shall be stronger than before. We're going to come into the great spiritual awakening and great move of God in the end time. I don't know about you. I want to be a part of the move of God in the end time according to the promise in the Bible, according to the prophecy in the Bible. How many people want to be a part of the move of God in the end time? Amen. And your life will never be the same. But in order to get into the move of God, in order to get into the tangible, thick presence of God, we need to prepare ourselves. And one of the things that we need to do is to learn how to honor the presence of God or the anointing. If we don't learn how to honor the presence of God, we will not have more anointing. We will not be able to encounter and experience the move of God. You remember when Moses was on the mountain, on Mount Horeb, when he faced the presence of God, he took out his slipper. He took out his shoes because that is the holy ground. He really honored the presence of God. In this trip, many Thai people came to me and said, "Wow, this man named Joe Chris." Many Thai people came to me and say, "This man is something." Because whenever you grab the microphone, he will back off and start to sing song to support me. He did not try to compete with me. In other words, he honored my anointing and I honor his anointing. Anyway, by the end of the service, the last service, I walked to him, I lay hand on about 1,300 people already done. Everyone just drunk on the ground, filled with the Holy Spirit. So I walked to him and said, I put my hand like this, "You lay hand on me too now. Pastor Joe, could you lay hand on me?" He said, no, "You lay hand on me." So we both point finger to each other. In other words, we want the anointing, we want to honor the anointing of another person. So ask that person to lay hand on me. So we both eventually come to each other and grab each other's hand and say, "Let's lay hand on each other then." And we fell under the power and got drunk for half an hour. We laughed in the Holy Ghost. And Becky Cruz, his wife, went to Pastor Ann, who was a pastor over there, and asked Pastor Ann lay hand on her. And she fell under the power and get drunk in the Holy Spirit too. So you can see that people who want more anointing need to learn how to honor the anointing. We're going to look at the scripture in the next half an hour to learn about honoring the anointing. Actually, God put a lot of stories in the Bible to teach us in the New Testament church so that we will not make the same mistake again. Amen. All the story I share today, a lot of mistakes. And I don't want you to make the same mistake. My job as a pastor is to educate you and to help you not to make mistakes and to do the right thing. A lot of people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, say that my people are destroyed due to the lack of knowledge. And I believe that a lot of Christians in the world get into trouble, get into a car accident, have cancer and die young and have problem because they don't understand the scripture and they make mistake and eventually the judgment of God comes upon them. So we have to be careful because God takes serious about his anointing. God takes serious about his presence. God really takes serious about his glory and his honor. Look at the first story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verses 16 to 21 talking about a king. This king named Uzziah. He was very powerful. He did a lot of good things for the nation of Israel. He really was blessed by God. He had a lot of victory against the enemy. He was a very successful king. Look at the Bible say about him. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored. Everyone say honored. You will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah did not honor God. He was anointed to be a king, but he was not anointed to be the priest. And the job of burning incense was the job of the priest. So whenever you step out from your anointing and try to get the glory for yourself and say, hey, now I'm successful. You know what is the dangerous time in your life? The most dangerous time in your life is when you are at the peak of your success. Whenever your business is doing well, you get a lot of patients, you get a lot of customers, you are doing well financially, your ministry grow very fast, a lot of members come to church, whatever happened to your care group, that you are so successful, that is a dangerous time, because the devil will come to you and tempt you to be prideful and to start to think this way. Oh, look at me. This is my work. This is my anointing. This is my ministry. Then you start to steal the glory and the honor from God. That's what happened to Uzziah, the king. He started to steal the honor. He walked into the temple and said, I'm going to prove to everyone that I'm anointed. I'm going to burn the incense and let everybody know that I am anointed. He get the glory for himself. What happened? The Bible continued to say, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. You see, he did not even listen to the warning words of the priest. He was so prideful. While he was raging at the priest in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave. He must be shameful, I believe, because the Lord had afflicted him. You need to understand that at that time, there was no medication to heal leprosy. When you get leprosy, that's it. You die with leprosy. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. This is a sad story. This man did not honor the anointing. He had one anointing, but he stepped out to do another anointing. And this happened all the time when people in the church began to be successful and they think that, oh, you know, I'm successful. Now I'm going to do something else that I'm not called to do. You have to be careful. You need to honor the anointing on other people and you need to honor the anointing of your own self. And don't step out of your own anointing to do something else. For example, I'm not anointed to be prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. I am a teacher. So if I start to step out and start to prophesy on people, I can have a word of prophecy for you, but I'm not a prophet. So if I begin to move in the prophetic ministry, I'm going to be in trouble. I will be judged by God. So you have to be careful. This is important that you find out what your anointing is and move in that anointing and don't step out of the anointing. Because pride will cause you to go downhill, will cause you to get into trouble. Everyone needs to find your own anointing. If you are anointed to be worship leader, lead worship. If you are anointed to be teacher, teach the word. Amen. I don't mean that you cannot do something else like picking up the chairs, picking up people from the house to come to church. But if you are not an apostle, don't act like an apostle. You need to move in the anointing God gave to you. God gave this story in the Bible to teach us that He is very serious about the anointing or about the presence of God. And we need to take the presence of God and anointing seriously. For example, another story in the Bible about the Ark of God. The Ark of God in the Old Testament represent the tangible presence of God. In the Old Testament, the presence of God is not everywhere. Not everybody has the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has the anointing. Only three kinds of people has the Holy Spirit: the priest, the king, and the prophets. And the presence of God was only with the ark in the Holy of Holies, in the inner room of the temple. And at that time, God was very particular or very specific of how to move the ark, how he told them that the priests have to put the golden pole across the ring of the ark. The ark is like a box. They put the golden pole, and then the priests have to carry on their shoulder from one place to another place. And that is very specific. God did not leave any room for any speculation and say you have to do this and that. It's very specific how they handled the anointing of God, how they handled the presence of God. And what happened at that time, the children of Eli in the book of 1 Samuel did not honor the anointing. You heard this story before. They began to sleep with a woman in the temple. They cheated. They stole the offering. And they were punished or judged by God, and they died. After they died, the Philistines attacked the nation of Israel. And they took the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of Israel. The presence of God or the glory of God had left Israel. And what happened? They carried the Ark on the cart. They make mistake and put the Ark in the temple with their god, the idol called Dagon. Dagon is the god of the Philistine, half fish and half human. At that time, how God is so particular, how God was so specific, and how God really takes serious about honoring the presence of God. And the anointing at that time was not everywhere. But nowadays, all of us has the Holy Spirit. The anointing is with everyone. Everyone has authority. The presence of God can show up anytime if we really seek God and hungry for the presence of God. When I went to Thailand this time, about 1,300 people, 1,200 people came. The presence of God was so strong that no one wanted to leave the room. It's so strong that a lot of people get drunk in the Holy Spirit. I heard that one lady, I lay hand on her on Sunday. By Thursday, she's still drunk in the Holy Spirit at home. She still laugh and she still talk like and I heard from the email that she one day got up in her prayer meeting in her church and she spoke English without accent with complete normal grammar. She was speaking in English, signs and wonders. God wants to show signs and wonders in the church that is very hungry for the things of God. So the move of God, the presence of God is for today. Do you know that you are living in the time that God is pouring out the Holy Spirit or the glory upon the church right now? We are living in that generation. But we have to warn you one thing. You can get used to the presence of God. You can get used to the glory of God to the point that you will take it for granted. And you begin to despise or take the presence of God as common thing and you don't honor the presence of God anymore. We as a New Testament believers should not treat the presence of God, the anointing, less honorably than the Old Testament people. If the Old Testament people really were instructed to honor the presence of God and the anointing, we even much more need to honor the presence of God and the anointing in people's life and in the church. Amen? Amen. We need to honor the presence of God. Every time people despise the anointing, judgment comes. I believe that a lot of time, as I mentioned before, a lot of people get into trouble in the church because they did not honor the presence of God. They did not honor the anointing. That's why it's my job to educate you today, because if I don't tell you, you may make mistake and you call trouble to yourself. In 1 Samuel chapter 5 verses 1 to 2, look at what the Bible say, that the Philistine did not honor the presence of God, did not honor the glory of God. Then the Philistine took the ark of God, brought it from Ebenezer of Ashdod. When the Philistine took the ark of God is the presence of God. They brought it into the temple of Dagon and set it by Dagon. So they put the presence of God close to an idol. They despise, they put the God of Israel equal to their own idol, which is demonic thing. What happened? Verses 3 to 4. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So that idol fell down like this, face down. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of the hands were broken off. On the threshold, only Dagon's torso was left of it. So The first day they woke up, they saw that the idol fell down on the ground. God wants to show that He is bigger than that idol. The second day they woke up again, the idol was broken into 4 pieces. 2 arms and head cut off. And by that time, the people of Philistine realized now that the God of Israel is a true and living God. And they did not want to play game with the presence of God anymore. They say, this is enough. Actually, God really punished the children of Philistine by having a lot of tumors. A lot of people died because they despised the presence of God or the Ark of the Covenant. You see how serious? This is serious issue. When you don't honor the presence of God, when you criticize, when you talk down on the Holy Spirit, when you ridicule about the move of God, and you look at it and say, oh, I don't care about that. You have to be careful because God will bring judgment to people who did not honor the presence of God. What did they do? The Bible says in verses 6 to 7, but the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and He ravaged them and struck them with tumors. But both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for His hand is hard toward us, and Dagon, our God. Now they realize that God punished them. And what happened? They consult with their priests. What should we do? The priests say, build a new cart, put the ark of the covenant, put some gold on it, and let the cow take the cart away. So they did. They put the ark on the cart. The cow took the cart away. And the cart stopped at one city. What happened in that city? Look at again the story of people who did not honor the presence of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 verses 19 to 21, then He struck the men, He meant God, struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord has struck the people with a great slaughter. 50,000 people died. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before His holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjar Jearim, saying, the Philistine have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. So you can see here that these people did not honor the presence of God. I believe that if the ark of the covenant is here in this room right now, a lot of people will come and say, hey, I'm curious what is inside. Open up and look into it. And they did not honor the presence of God. God said, you don't open the ark. You don't touch even the ark. Because that is the presence of God. It's clear instruction from God. But they did not honor. They open up. They're curious. And they look into it. So what happened? 50,000 people died. And this story really make me really have the fear of God. You cannot play game with the presence of God. I believe that in the end time, as the move of God gets stronger and stronger, the judgment will come to the church even stronger. Amen. You're going to see the strong judgment in the church. People may die. People may get into trouble because they did not honor the presence of God. And I'm going to show you in the scripture in a while. What happened? That Ark of the Covenant was left at a person's house. Then King David became a king because King Saul died. So King David said, I want to get the Ark of the Covenant to my city. But King David made a mistake again. King David, instead of asking the priest to put a pole on the ring of the ark and carry on the shoulder. What happened? King David did. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 3. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. Is it wrong? It's wrong. God never say you carry the ark by the cart and by the cow. You need to carry by the priest. In other words, the presence of God is for human, not for objects. Okay, and brought it out of the house of Aminadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Aminadab, drove the new cart. These two guys drove the new cart. If you read the story, continue to happen is that the cart tripped and gonna fall, and Uzzah put his hand on the ark to hold it so it would not fall down. The Bible says Uzzah dropped dead at that moment. Even King David was so afraid of the ark, of the presence of God, the judgment of God. He put the ark into the house of a man named Obed-Edom. But Obed-Edom really treated the ark of the covenant very well. And the Bible said that for 3 months, God blessed that house. You can see the opposite story here. If you really honor the presence of God, God will bless you financially. God will bless your health. God will bless your family. God will bless your kids. If you honor the presence of God like Obed-Edom, in the 2 Samuel chapter 6, you read that story. But if you treat the presence of God without respect, without honor, you ridicule, you talk bad about the presence of God, the judgment will come. And you say, Pastor, what you share is in the Old Testament. We are living in the New Testament. I don't care what you talk about. That is David's time. That is Philistine time. Now we're living in 2007. We are in the computer age now. We don't care about the presence of God anymore. We have computer. We have iPod. We have iPhone. We have all kinds of technology. Look at the New Testament church. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 2. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 2. Is that in New Testament? That is in Jerusalem, is that right? Okay. Look at what the Bible say happened in the spirit field, in revival. God was moving in that church. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostle's feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Why it remained, was it not your own? And after it was so, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last, meaning he died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much? She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last. You can see here the story of the New Testament. This couple, husband and wife, did not honor the anointing. They lied to the leadership, the apostle, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, signs and wonders happen. A lot of people get saved. And what happened? So many poor people come to the church. Many disciples sold their land and their homes and share money with the poor. And even Barnabas sold his land too. And that's why he was called a son of consolation. But this couple wanted to get their own glory. They despised the presence of God. They despised the anointing. They acted like the Holy Spirit was not there. They acted like the Holy Spirit was stupid. They can lie to the Holy Spirit. Hey God, I don't think you know what is going on here. I'm going to say whatever I want. They despise the presence of God, the anointing. So they came into the church, put money at the feet of Peter, the Apostle Peter, and say, for example, they sold the land, $50,000. They brought in $30,000 and said, this is all I sold. So they lied. They kept another 20,000 with them. And Peter, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said, you lied. And they dropped dead. And the Bible say, after that, what happened? After they dropped dead. Acts chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. There is a correlation between three things here. The fear of God, the honor of God, and signs and wonders. And the fourth thing in the Bible here is unity. They were all in one accord. When the church reached the point of living in the fear of God, we don't sin against God, we don't play game with God, we repent, and we honor the presence of God, and we also live together in unity, signs and wonder will break out. How many people want to see signs and wonder in Seattle? How many people want people who work in Microsoft and Boeing see that our God is still alive and living God? Amen. Amen. What we need to do as a church, we need to fear God. We need to honor the presence of God. And we need to live together in unity. I believe signs and wonders still happen today. No question at all. Yesterday, one of the lady members from Las Vegas shared with me. I went to Las Vegas 2 weeks ago. I missed church for 2 weeks. I went to Las Vegas, and about 7 people accepted Christ in Thailand. About 100 people accepted Christ this time. It's amazing. When you live in unity, what happened in Thailand, I just stand like this. At the end of the worship, I did not even preach yet. I just stand like this. Everyone just so hungry for the things of God. And I just say, Jesus love. And when I make an altar call without preaching, 100 people walk out easily. Just boom, walk out. Signs and wonders. A lot of people just come into the Lord because people come in unity and they honor the presence of God. You know, these people come to the meeting. Meeting starts at 6 p.m. By 5:30 p.m., everyone sit on the chair, ready for the presence of God. They really honor the presence of God by coming early, and they waited on God instead of letting God wait on them. We need to build that culture in Seattle that we honor God and we are living in unity and we fear God. The lady from Las Vegas told me she is there. She's sitting there. She raised her hand there. She told me that I lay hand on her. She fell under the power. I walk away for 3 steps. God told me to come back and lay hand on her knee. I didn't know what is going on. I just obey God and lay hand on her knee. She had knee problem for years. When she go down the step, she had to go down like this. Because of the knee injury. Right after that, she feel the heat in her knee or something like that. The knee pain was totally gone. And she's healed now. And she's sitting there. I'm not lying. She's sitting there. I believe that signs and wonders like this gonna happen more if we honor the presence of God. Amen. Amen. But on the opposite way, if we are not careful, we do not honor the presence of God or the anointing, judgment gonna come. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 31 to 32, at that time the Pharisees were looking down on Jesus, say that he cast out demons by the spirit of Satan. They looked down on the work of the Holy Spirit. They despise, they ridicule, they talk bad about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said like this, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. This is serious. Don't criticize any pastor. Don't criticize any preacher. Don't talk bad about the anointing of somebody else. Don't touch the anointed. David even dare not touch Saul. Don't criticize when God is moving. When God is touching people and people cry, people laugh, whatever. Don't criticize. Honor the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what happened when you criticize the anointing in people's life. Second Kings chapter 2, 23 to 24. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some Jews came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up your bald head. All the bald head people here say, thank you, Lord. Go up, you bald head. And he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. This happened to Elisha. Elisha had double portion of anointing of Elijah. But they ridiculed. They spoke kind of slander and spoke bad about Elisha. And pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And the two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. So the bear came out and tore them in pieces, killed them. Don't talk bad about the anointing. This is a serious issue. Amen. We should watch our mouth. We should watch our heart. We should honor the anointing of the Lord. We should not talk against the presence of God or the anointing or the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We need to really honor the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church. You may say that when the Holy Spirit is moving, it's going to have to move in my way. No, He's not going to move in your way. He's going to move in His way. Whether you like it or not, when He moves in His way, you need to honor. You cannot just criticize and say, this is not my way. This is not the way I grow up in the church. In my church, people come and God is not moving, so this is not my way. I'm going to criticize you. No, you need to understand that God is moving in His way. And you cannot force God. Amen? I pray that we all will understand this lesson and really honor the anointing of the Lord. We should honor the presence of God. And if we do so, I believe God is going to bless the church. We're going to see the breakthrough. We're going to see the blessing in your family, in your life, financially, everything. God is going to bless people who honor the presence of God. Amen. How many people make a decision that week? I'm going to honor the presence of God. I'm going to honor the anointing from now on. Amen. Let's give hand to the Lord. I like that. Give hand to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning, I would like to ask to a group of people, if you never invite Jesus Christ into your heart, I want to let you know that God is real. You listen to all this story. And God wants to bless you. God wants to give you a new life. If you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and become a child of God today. The second group of people, if you accepted Christ long time ago and you have grown cold against the Lord, you backslid. You have backslid. You don't walk with God anymore. You kind of treat the things of God as common. You take the things of God for granted. You don't respect the things of God anymore. You don't go to church, you don't serve God, you don't treat God as your King, the King of all kings and the Lord of your Lord anymore. And you say, God, today I repent, I want to come back to serve you, I want to walk with you. I want to ask these two group of people to really turn around and come to the Lord. If you are these two group of people, can I really pray for you and pray with you? If you are these people, can you raise your hand up and I will pray with you. Raise your hand up. Thank you for raising hand. Anyone else? You come back to the Lord? Anyone else? Raise your hand up. Can you stand up at your chair? I will, at your place, stand up and I would like to pray with you. Just stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand up. If you want to come back to the Lord, or you never really have a personal relationship with Christ, this is the time you should do it. Stand up. Pray with me right now. Just follow my prayer. Father in heaven, I give my life to you today.
Give my life to you today.
I turn away from my sins.
I turn away from my sins.
Today.
I make a decision. I make a decision.
To honor you.
To honor you.
And to follow you.
And to follow you.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
And believe in my heart.
And believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is my Lord.
Is my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
He was raised from the dead.
He was raised from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
From today on.
From today on.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Will become my God.
Will become my God.
I will serve you, Lord Jesus.
I will serve you, Lord Jesus.
All the days of my life.
all the days of my life.
I will honor you.
I will honor you.
And esteem you.
And esteem you.
More than anything else in my life.
More than anything else in my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the story in the Bible to warn us not to, Lord, despise the things and the anointing of God. We bless you indeed today. We love you in this church, Lord. Father, I pray the presence of God will fill every house in this place. Your presence, the anointing, will fill their life everywhere they go, Lord. They shall live in the presence of God. They shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Give hand to the Lord one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.